So I want you to know I am grateful for this opportunity. I do not take this this time, this season in my life for granted, by no means. So thank you for being my church. Thank you for allowing me to grow in God's grace and mercy, kind of right in front of your eyes, I think. Because when I think about when I walked in here 6 years ago, man, oh, man, we were all right. I think we did church well. But I think you guys had provided us with fertilized ground to grow. So thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for my baby. She, listen to me, there's a reason why I'm doing this, because, listen, when I tell you guys what's going on in my life, it is not to get kudos. A lot of people say, well, James, why you tell everybody you working full time, you're doing a master's this and a master's and that? You know why? Because it makes me hold myself accountable. Because if I didn't tell you, I can get in there and quit, and you wouldn't know. Yeah? So I say it to you so you can pray for me. Yeah? And I need you to pray for my wife because, you know, in the last couple years, I haven't done much housework at all because I'm always reading a book somewhere. So just pray for her. Not that she gets strength because she's doing a good job, but that she doesn't choke me. That's all. That's all I'm asking for. I got a few more years. I got a few more years of doing this thing, and then I told her, we have to get you a maid or something. You know, somebody that'll come in here and help us. But I'm just grateful for her, man. She fixes my plate while I'm studying and doing stuff and takes care of Jonathan and takes his plate to his room so he can do his homework. I just love her, and I thank you for that. Thank you for the support, babe. I really do. So are we ready to get into this thing? So a couple of weeks ago, man, when they asked me, you know, well, Brian tends not to ask. He just says, I'm out of town. Who's preaching? And then Mo tends not to say, not me, James. So here I am. Yeah, it was your turn. She said, it's your turn. So I'm really afraid to say this today. I really am. Not the message, but what I'm getting ready to tell you. There's a part two next Sunday. So I'm looking at all y'all faces. If y'all don't show up, that just lets me know. I'm just saying. So there's a part two. Pastor Mo was all on the message today, and that's why I decided to keep my mouth shut, because I didn't want to reveal, if you will. Have you ever seen a kid throw a temper tantrum? At the beginning of that temper tantrum, I gotta say, it's kind of cute. Kinda. Because they're still trying to figure out their emotions. They're trying to tell you that, you know, they need some help. They need to be cleaned up. Do I need to go any further? We good? They're hungry. They stubbed their toe. They're upset. But I think kids throw temper tantrums. Let's see. I don't know what his problem is. Kids throw temper tantrums, and it's cute. They communicate with us through that tantrum sometimes, right? Some of us, they can't get it. They understand. It's cute. It's cute. Right? I don't know what somebody did to him, but he's got a full set of teeth and he is angry. You hear me? He's on a sippy cup. Jonathan, look familiar. Yeah. Man, he's angry. He's a kid that's saying, I'm not in touch with my emotions. I'm trying to figure this out. And because I don't know how to use my words and my actions, I'm throwing a tantrum. Some of us just pout in life. You know, kids, they like, Hey, you want to help me? No. Hey, do you want to go to the to wherever? No. And what's really sad about that is that that's an angry face, and she's cute doing it. The yellow, it's cute. Yeah. But what about us adults? Today, I'm here to talk about spiritual maturity. And she's like, yeah, man, I should have stayed home. Today, I'm here to talk about spiritual maturity. What does that look like in your life? Do you throw temper tantrums with whoever? The most probably prevalent temper tantrum is one with your spouse or your immediate family. I kind of, listen, when I started doing this, because I had another message, something that was a little bit more jazzy and pizzazzy and whatever. But man, I guess in my own prayer life, this started to come up because I realized I ain't no different. I'm not any different. So what about the adults? Some of us go to work and we are angry. We're throwing a temper tantrum because a report didn't get to us in time, or somebody went to lunch without us, or somebody gave us ranch instead of the blue cheese dressing, and now we're mad. That would be me. Whatever. Some of us just kind of, like a kid in a nice dress, we will get on the floor. And just like a smart woman, she would say, why are you showing just the women? That's why I added a man. You see what I'm saying? I knew that was coming. Some of us, we blow off steam and we're trying to manage this thing. And you would wonder why we then have tantrums. Some of us grown men still cry like a baby. No matter where you are in life, there comes a time where maturity needs to be prevalent in your life. Now today we're going to be looking at kind of a spiritual maturity, but I would dare say that it affects then our outside self, our body. It affects us. Okay? So I wonder if God wants to do this to us. For our temper tantrums, there's going to be something that pop up. I just wonder. And for those of you that are not about corporal punishment, I am so sorry. I grew up with the belt and the switch and anything else they can get their hands on. And I feel like I'm okay. Kind of. No. So I wonder if God wants to just turn us over his knee and spank us because we're just acting like children. I wonder, it's just a question. It's not saying, and I'm not going to go, oh, God's going to beat us down. That's not where I'm going. But I just wonder, because he goes, Jonathan just turned 20 Friday. And I've always had this conversation with Jonathan. I'm not going to put him on the spot. I've always had this conversation when he was 5. He always wanted to be 12-ish, 13. You know what I mean? Like, dude, slow your roll. It's okay. We're going to get you there. Right? But then sometimes at 17, 15, 16, actions didn't line up with the age. I wonder then if God is saying, man, when are you guys going to get it? I just wonder. Now, yes, I believe in grace. Absolutely, I do. I believe in mercy. I think that's grace and mercy right there. Because it probably should have happened 3 months prior to this. I'm just saying. So today I'm here to talk about spiritual maturity. And I've already missed the game, so 2 hours, here we go. Let's roll. Y'all ready? All right. So spiritual maturity today. We're going to kind of dig in to spiritual maturity and kind of what it looks like. The questions I think we should consider is this. What is spiritual maturity? Are you spiritually mature? That is a rhetorical question. Do you want to be spiritually mature? That reveals something right there. And what are the indicators that you are spiritually mature? And what are the indicators that other people are spiritually mature? Now, that doesn't give you carte blanche to start judging people because they didn't do something the way you did it or say it the way you say it. So that's not what that is about. Oh, I get to go around and judge people and see if they are spiritually mature compared to me. That's not what this is about. But I will help you by saying spiritually mature people are the people that you should be hanging around. Because if they're not spiritually mature, they can eat at your fabric. They can eat at what God is trying to do in your life. But because they're not spiritually mature, it's taking you away from where God is trying to get you. Everybody ready? Okay, good. So what is spiritual maturity? And we're gonna try to go quick. Spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is this process that begins when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. He or she is born again of the Holy Spirit and then chooses to live a life in Christ. So we come from this denomination that says, once you give your life to Christ as being a Christian, you accept Jesus Christ and what he's done for you on the cross, that's it. Thank you, old folks, older folks, mature folks, for saying, that ain't it. Because if that was it, I believe that if once you did it and it was true and it was real, God would go, okay, you're ready. Now you're in heaven. But since he left us here, after we gave our life to Christ and we accepted who Christ was as the atonement for our sins, then I gotta believe that we got something else to do. So, if we go to Philippians, let's go, and I'm gonna try not to make this as academic as I like to, but it's okay. Now listen, and everybody knows, Pastor Mo knows, people that in my house know, I love Paul in the Bible. I love Pastor Paul too, but I love the Apostle Paul. The reason why I love Paul, because listen, this man killed Christians. Not because, that's not why I love him, but his life totally changed from who he was and who he is. It totally changed. And as much as he did for Satan and the Pharisees and all that, he did just as much for the body of Christ. But that did not come by accident. It came because in that change, in that moment that he was knocked off his horse and Christ met him, he was changed. But then Paul had to walk this life out, which I'm suggesting to you should be our example. Listen to what Paul said. He was writing to the church at Philippi. Now that I've already, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. So for those of you that don't know, that was the New King James Version. I'm one of those. I still like it. All right. Oh, that is Philippians 4. What is it for? Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Listen. Even Paul said, listen, I haven't obtained it yet. I'm still working forward. I'm still pressing towards this mark. This mark is this finish line, this thing. But here's what we know. It's not the end finish line, because as you get to that one, guess what? There's a whole nother one coming. Let's go. Keep it moving. Yeah? So here's what we need to understand. As children, when I say children, I'm talking about physical children, there was this moment in our life where we trusted God or trusted our parents and trusted whatever. But as we begin to just grow and mature, our words and our actions don't line up. I'm here to tell you that as Christians, because of who we are, we need to line up our lives and walk this thing out, because God wants us to be spiritually mature. See, a lot of people, well, God said, suffer little children to come unto me. He absolutely said it. He didn't say, suffer grown-ups who act like children to come to me. He said, suffer little children to come to me. And I get that, but here's the problem. Sometimes we use that as a way to kind of not own up. We use it as a way, like, well, God, yeah, I understand. And there's plenty of grace for that. But I think what happens, church, is that God wants us to kind of really walk this thing out. And we're going to get that. You're going to see that here shortly. God wants us to walk this thing out. So I will tell you this. In order for Christian maturity to develop in your life, there's three things. I didn't put them up there. There's three things I think will help you. You must make a choice to learn God's word. For some of us, we choose to go to seminary. We choose to kind of dig at it that way. For some of us, we get out early in the morning after we make our walk, or we're doing our coffee, and we read the word, and we seek God to impart this wisdom so we can live our life. Allow God to renew your mind. It is a waste of your time. Listen to me. And I know you may not agree with this. It is a waste of your time if you read the word every day and you don't allow it to change you. If you're reading it like it's a CNN article and you're not applying it to your life, it's a waste of your time. You might as well do something else. Now, we know it's not, right? But if you're not intentionally reading the word so it can affect your life, so it can change who you are at the core, why are you doing it? Just to check it off your list? So if you happen to stand before God, you're like, hey, God, remember those last 367 2 days? I read the word. And guess what God may say? Well, we don't want to depart from me. No, that's too heavy, isn't it? Depart from me, I know you're not. No, that's too heavy. But show me. You've read the word every day. And what did you do to apply it to your life? So we talked about, you must make a choice to learn God's word. That's number one. Allow God to renew your mind. And then, here we go. You must be obedient to what you've learned. You've got to be. I think sometimes we all have this. We can have this academic and we can quote scripture. I mean, back when I was growing up, it was a big deal when preachers could quote chapters. Preachers would study hard and just read and study. But then you hear about the fall. Not Adam and Eve, but theirs. And I wonder then why then a person would read, study. And then fall. Now, I get it. We're human nature, whatever. But I just wonder, did we apply it to our life? Okay. My intent was not to make this as heavy as it is, but I believe it's truth. So let's go to Galatians. Let's go Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. We're going to read a couple of verses there, and then we're going to jump to verse 25. Here's what I believe. I believe that, okay, there's this moment when you accept Christ. You accept God. You accept that he is all-powerful. You accept the story. You accept God's narrative. Yeah? And then God kind of calls us to be in community with one another, be in his body, to be the body of Christ. But I believe that God wants us to be mature as well, which is down on that other end of the spectrum. How do we get there? Well, we get there because Paul talks about walking in the Spirit. Listen, walking in the Spirit, but walking by the Spirit. Here's what that means. Let me show you what that's going to look like. So Galatians 5. I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now listen, old folks that are plus 40. Old folks that are plus 40. When we've read that before growing up, the desires of the flesh, we always think it was talking about some type of sexual promiscuity or some type of whatever. But what it really means, listen to me, what it really means is your temper tantrum. The temper tantrum is all about you. You're not going to fulfill the desires of your flesh, of everything that you want, getting it your way. That's what it's talking about. Now, we like to lean that way because we can go into the historic thing of about denominations and why they said you couldn't go to the movie, couldn't go to the, you know, all that stuff. We can get into that, but that's not what this is about. This is really about the desires of your flesh. It's all about me. I'm here to tell you that God said it's not all about you. Now, let's go to 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Have you ever walked with someone? This is not to throw my wife up under the bus, by no means. But I have a long gait. I have a long stride. Jonathan likes to be on his phone. Not throwing him up under the bus. But like when we go to Westgate or we're going to the mall, guess what? I'm getting it. Because I got some place to be. And Jenny is like, and Jonathan's like, and I'm, hey. Can we go? Have you ever done it? Listen, when I get behind people that walk slow, not drive slow, I'm okay. Jeannie has the drive problem. Amen, she says. When I get behind people in the mall that walk slow, it hurts me. It physically hurts my body. It hurts me. So I'd be trying to put on my signal so I can go by them. And then, but I don't know. They must have seen me in their rear view while they're walking. I was walking here. Listen, here's what this is saying. Watch this. Now watch this. Come in, Noah. Please. It would have been Jonathan, but he's back there. So you ever seen We're Off to See the Wizard? Well, you know the skip, the one that they do? I'm not going to do that to you. He's like, okay, let's do it. There is nothing worse. I'm going to let you walk. You just take a stroll. There's nothing worse than to walk with somebody that's not in step with you. Right? But when you walk in step, we're going to walk in step, starting with the left foot. I had to prep him. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Yeah? You ready? But when you walk in step with the Holy Spirit, look at this. When you walk in step with the Holy Spirit, there's a whole lot that can happen. You ready? There's something that there's not this struggle that happens. Thank you. This is what Paul is saying. In your life, if you want to be spiritually mature, you've got to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, that may look differently. Yes, the Holy Spirit functions in a certain way for all of us. But I think Milt's walk looks different than my walk. I think Ben's walk is going to look different than my walk. But that's why it's the Holy Spirit, because he can walk with all of us and keep in step with all of us. Amen? So I don't have to compare my walk to Brian's walk. I don't have to compare my walk to Lance's walk. Lance is way more deeper than I am. I can't compare that. I can't do it because what happens, Satan will get in that thing and make me feel less than because of what God is doing with me because he's not doing what he's done with Lance's life. So spiritual maturity, it takes effort. So, for those of you that don't know, I had my Greek class. Jenny, how bad was it at the house? It was bad. I had many a Skype things with the professor. I'm just not getting it. And ladies and gentlemen, I still have two more classes that I got to do. So I've decided to put those off for a couple years. But one thing I did pick up on is how to at least do some Greek research a little bit. So walk in verse 16 is the Greek word for peripatio, which means to walk with a purpose in view. Listen, I understand you got saved. I understand you gave your life to Christ. I understand it. Trust me, we all did. But now, after you turn to this thing called life, you got to walk it out like there's a purpose in view, like your thing is right up there. But you're doing it with the Holy Spirit. You're walking with the purpose in your life. You're walking because the Holy Spirit is lifting you up while you get through life. When there's a loss of a child, a loss of a job, a loss of a dog. We just lost one last week. 16 years. When the Holy Spirit lifts you up, though, and walks with you, there's something powerful that happens. Now listen, walk in verse 25 is translated from another Greek word, which means stoicheo, the C-H-K-E, stoicheo, which means a step by step, one step at a time. There's something that happens when a person says, you know what, I know I look bad, I know what the doctor told me, I know my relationship is unfulfilled, I know there's loss in my life, I know there's anguish in my life. There is nothing more impressive to me than a person that just keeps walking it out. I just keep walking it out. See, that's a sign of spiritual maturity. So let's go to 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. And I pre-marked all my stuff last night. And 2 Timothy, I believe it's 2. So a lot of people think that this scripture is really to Timothy, and it is. It is. But 2 Timothy 2:15, not going to be on the screen. Here it is. Listen to what the words say here, and just want to make sure, do you hear maturity in this, or do you hear a baby Christian? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Does that sound like a baby Christian to you? No, it doesn't. Now, we understand that this is a letter to Timothy from Paul, but I would dare say that this is really a letter to the church. This is a letter to each and every one of us, individually and collectively as a church. It's all right. Okay. That, I know y'all haven't seen that because it's just not your movie, but it was I don't know what kind of, I'm not going to go there. But the preacher said it was a movie like that, and if that ain't God, turn it off. I would never do that. But I'm just saying. That's what the movie was. The preacher was like, and you know, it was in a black church, so that's what it was. And the whole church said, and that guy was fumbling, was like, listen, if that ain't God, turn it off, you know. And everybody was like, amen, yeah. So that was the funny thing. Okay, so listen to this. Now watch this. Let's go to verse 3, chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Listen, at GCU, man, they give me an hour and 45 minutes to do this. I love it. So we're not going to do that to you today. 2 Timothy chapter 16, verse 16 through 19. Is it 2 Timothy 3:16 through 9? Oh, yeah. So we talked about the word. So it says, James, so how would I know then, how am I going to become spiritually mature? Does it just happen with age? Partly. But I'm here to tell you that it's intentional. Yeah? See, because when I was 14, 15, my mom and dad would say certain things to me to give me this mark. And I do it to Jonathan. To give me this mark that I need to be ready for as I'm maturing. When you get to 17, you will be able to do this, that, and the other. Does everybody understand? I believe God operates the same way. Here's what I mean. If God revealed everything you needed when you became saved, I think you would spontaneously combust. Over the top, I know, but I'm just, you couldn't handle it here. And I think if God had given you a preview of everything that you was going to, that was going to happen in your life, because you were a follower of Christ, I believe that some of us would have said, can't do it, God, because I see what's down the road. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want that in my life. Here's the deal. No matter where, here's what I believe. No matter what, that was going to happen. I'd much rather get to that with Christ on my side. I'd much rather get to that thing that I'm going to have to deal with when I was 30, when I was 35, when I was 40, 2 years ago. I'd much rather deal with that walking through the Spirit, with the Spirit. Jenny, I know if there were things in your life that you would have saw, you would not have gotten through them if it hadn't been for the Holy Spirit being with you. There's other of you. I don't know all your story. Probably a good thing, I guess. Yeah, tell Pastor Brian. Maybe. But I believe that there are things in our life that when we accept God and we're maturing, God is... Here's how I know. Do you remember the story when basically God was chilling in heaven? That was for my young folks right here. God was chilling. And what did he say to Satan? He said, Satan, where you been? And Satan quite freely says, going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom I may devour. What did God say to him? Have you tried my servant Russell? Have you tried my servant Barbara? Have you tried my servant Roland? Have you tried my servant? I believe, now that doesn't, a lot of people say, well, James, does that mean God is intended? Now there's a whole bunch of scriptures in there where it says, God, if there's just one person in there that will lift me up and praise me, I'll save the city. You remember that story? If there's just one person in there, one family, well, guess what? I'm here to tell you that I believe that we're part of that family right here. There are some of you that have come into this church, I remember years ago, when you walked through the doors, didn't know how this thing was supposed to work. But after some years of being here around some crazy folks and the Holy Spirit, we've matured up real good. But I'm here to tell you that spiritual maturity is not a destination. It is a journey. Our spiritual maturity is critical. Okay? Now look. So I've got, oh, by the way, at home, I think I've come down. I'm not sure if you can get ADDD or whatever when late in life. But listen, I got a laptop, I got a monitor, I got another monitor. I've got books, I've got iPads, just like what you're seeing right now, that's what I have. All right? It's fun for me. And I love her. And I control the remote for Jenny. Not for me. Men, I know. I took one for the team. I control the remote for my wife. Could you scoot through that commercial? Yes, babe. Ooh, you overpassed it. Man, look, don't start now. You're going to have to hold it yourself. Play. Yeah. Just pray for me. That's all I'm saying. Just pray for me. So here's the deal. So how do we become spiritually mature? There must be a desire to be spiritually mature. You can't skate through life. I gave my life to Christ and I'm good. Because the first time something gets in your way that's going to attack you in your life, it's going to put you on your batootie. Do you hear me? So we got to be prepared for that thing, whatever that thing is in each one of our lives. Yeah? So there must be a desire to be spiritually mature. Come on now, be nice. What's the other thing? Desire must lead to knowledge. The beginning of wisdom is the seeking of God. Seeking his countenance, seeking his face, digging into his word. Yeah? Knowledge must lead us to responsibility. Which means, folks, I used to tell Jonathan all the time, hey, boy, you a Gant. Don't get out there and do the Gant name. My name mean nothing. Now I tell him, you a Christian. Huh? That's a little bit different. See, I stopped telling him it was about me and my name and my daddy name. I didn't choose that name. It was given to me. So now when he walks out and enters the world every day, it's not about you better be the best Gant. Although we got some nice shirts that say, of course I'm awesome. I'm a Gant. I mean, it makes sense to me. When I saw it, it made sense. It made perfect sense. But that's not the weight that I want him to carry. That's not the weight that I want him to live his life by. What I want him to live his life by is you are a child of the Most High God. That's how you live your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what our last name is individually here. When we all walk out of here, we're all Christians. We're all followers of Christ. That comes with a spiritual maturity that will allow people to go by you and say, hey, man, every time I see you, Noah, you always smiling. You always like in a good mood. Dressed pretty cool, too, right? Can you tell me what's your story? Come here. Let me tell you about a man that changed my life. See, that's spiritual maturity. See, because the immature person would say, yep, it's all about me. You're right, sir. I wake up every morning and the world revolves around me. Shut it. That's not true. But I will tell you, that was me. And I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling. See, because it's hard. It's hard to make it not about me when it's only me in my car. It's hard to not make it about me when I'm going through the drive-thru and I'm pulling out my wallet and to pay for it. But it's not about me. The mature Christian says, this ain't about me. This is about the power of the Holy Spirit. This is about me walking in spirit and in step with the Spirit. Amen? All right. So we just found out that knowledge must lead to responsibility. Well, responsibility for what? We have a way, and we're going to get to scriptures next week. This is really my intro to next week. Listen, be here next week. Please. Not because of me, but I believe that this is a timely word, okay? So we're going to move on. So responsibility must lead to action. Sometimes I've come across people in my life, and we're going to back this up with scripture either shortly or next week. Sometimes I come to people in my life who have so much God-given talent, innovation, wisdom. And then when you have a conversation with them, guess what? They want to keep it to themselves. And it puts me in the mind of that kid that says, mine, mine, mine. Have you, what movie is that? Nemo. That's, it's not, they don't say mine. Yeah, they do say mine, don't. Mine, mine, this is mine. This is mine. This is mine. See, because, see, and I'm trying to teach Jonathan this. God gave you a gift. John, do you know Jonathan is the only woo? Woo, 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 woo. Not that kind of woo. But he's the only woo in our church. Woo? I know you say, what is woo? Woo is an acronym for winning others over. And until we did that test a few years ago, I would have been like, Jonathan, please, really. Why is everybody over our house? Jonathan, you had 16 people at your birthday, right? Jonathan, every Sunday after church, we got friends to come over. I love them. I want them to. But when I see what God had done for him and made him who he is, that's who he is. He wins others over. And then all the clubs that he's involved with and all the, I'm going, I see what you did there. See, that ain't about my name. See, because a selfish dad would have said, see, you see what I did? I raised a good boy. I raised a, see, that, is, that was all God. See, the spiritually mature person will see things for what it is. That's why you got to watch out who you hang out with. Because if they're not spiritually mature, they will drain you of everything that God wants for you. Because that's what Satan does. Have you ever had people in your life who, you meet them in 2009. I'm just throwing out a year. Meet them in 2009. For whatever reason, you didn't meet up with them again, and maybe military or something. 2014, you meet them again, and they still the same way. They haven't grown at all. Jenny has cut off some friends. Because after you lose a child, you tend to see people. You hear me? After you lose a child, you tend to pull away things and go, I just wonder. I'm trying to impart what I've lost. I'm trying to impart. And people are still kind of stuck in this. You haven't grown at all. I know my Ottawa family. We're not going names or anything. But people that say, I'm sorry, and they never change. Because a lot of people, see, I think Oprah and Dr. Phil have got us thinking that long as we say I'm sorry, we good. But sorry comes with the responsibility to not try to do that same thing again. So there comes a time I wonder if every time we get in trouble, we do the same thing, and God's like, come on. Yes, my grace is sufficient. Absolutely. But, man, but once you know better, you should do better. Thanks, Maya Angelou. All right, so listen, I want to get to this. So there must be a desire to be spiritually mature. Desire must lead to knowledge. Knowledge must lead to responsibility. And ladies and gentlemen, part of that responsibility, let me say this. I'm not trying to play on your emotions right here. And I know we have stuff to do in life. Trust me. I'm so busy. Along with what I do that you know of, a lot of people don't know, I've started an IA class, where instructor and assistant, for Christian Worldview at Grand Canyon University. Now, I'm telling you that not because I'm needing kudos, but I have to grade, just like these kids over here. Well, she's not really a kid, Tiffany. I have to grade 50 papers, 50 tests. There's 100 students in there, and there's only two IAs and an instructor, professor. I get it. But as I looked at the struggle that people are under about filling up the hours for prayer. Don't get mad at me. I just wonder where we are. We only do it once a year. And we didn't have enough people to fill up just 12 hours. And ladies and gentlemen, if you look around, there's a whole lot more than 12 in here. Now listen, I get you busy. And I started looking at the list and I'm going, why we got husband and wife switching, covering 2 hours? It really should be, it should. Husband and wife families kind of praying together for that hour, right? But we got husband and wife over here, 9 and 1 down here. Then I just wonder then. We're asking God to do things for our church and do things in our life. And I wonder when Jesus said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? That's my guilt. That's it. I'm moving on. So see my wife at the end of church so you can put your name down on the list. I appreciate it. Thank you. Because if y'all don't do it, guess what? I have to hear it. I don't mind hearing about you, but I really want it in a better light. Okay? See my wife at the end of church. We got 3 hours to fill. That's all I'm saying. 4. All right. Here's the last one. Okay. So knowledge must lead to responsibility. Responsibility must lead to an action. Each one of you will have a different action that God kind of asks of you or that will generate from you. But then I believe our church will have a responsibility as a collective to do something. I think our church is still trying to figure it out. Let me tell you why. Can I tell you why? So in all my years of study here over the last few years, we have what is called a not diabolically, because that's like, we have a very polarized church. Yeah? Not diverse. There's only a few of us, so no, don't call it that. Diametric, thank you. See, that's what, he's Lance. Diametrically opposed church. Here's the deal. Because as I'm learning about what it looks like to do church in an executive kind of role and in a preaching kind of role, it's hard for me to stand up here, and it's hard for Pastor Brian, so y'all need to always cut him a little bit of slack, to preach to an older generation. Oh, let me do it this way. To preach to an older generation and a younger generation. Did y'all feel better? Okay. So here's what I know. When we're preaching, we're trying to preach to a group of people. Sometimes we say things that are irrelevant to this group because we're trying to be relevant here. And vice versa. Here's what I know, though. As I'm watching and learning what is happening in the church, it becomes very evident that society has caused the church to drive a line between Generation Z and the older generation. I don't know what else to call you. Baby boomers. I mean, they've given us all these names. And for me, we're just the body of Christ. But when you do study, it's going, okay, you got, what is it, Generation Z? Not Generation X, Y, and Z for the last three, right? Then millennials, that kind of all group into that. Then you got baby boomers and all that stuff. The problem is we're trying to be relevant, and I'm saying that this is what makes us relevant. But again, that comes from spiritual maturity. I know people that come to our door may not always be accepting of what they see. It's different. I know it. Listen, we're not the big church on the corner. We don't have a parking lot ministry. We got enough space for 2 more. All right, thank you. We don't have it. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a greeter. Some churches got 17 ushers on Sunday. They got 25 greeters. We don't have it. We're a small church, right? But if you would look at our church and say we need to be like this, that lets me know that there's not much spiritual maturity. Does everybody understand? We may not look like everybody else's church when they say they're diverse or they have a Hispanic service or an Asian service at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. That may not be us, but that's not who we have. We're not serving those people. But in our maturity, we should be moved to do something in our life. Not just as individuals, but as a church. So as we are preparing to move to the next thing, I want to just close. I mean, I have probably 20 more of these for next week. Here's how we know that we are becoming spiritually mature. Hebrews 5, verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason or use of their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary, the baby stuff, of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Next week, we're going to talk about sanctification and perfection, what that looks like. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. You've already been saved. Don't lay it again. God did it. You're saved. From dead works and faith towards God, or of the doctrine of baptism or laying on the hands. See, Paul was fighting folks. Folks were fighting Paul about this thing. Paul says, let's not go back there. That's baby. Let's grow up. That's baby. We know that. That is confirmed. Christ did it. It's done. It is done. It is complete. It is finished. He did it. But God still wants us to walk out a mature, sanctified, holy life. We're going to take in communion and we're going to just kind of prepare our hearts and minds for, and we get to thank God and thank Christ for what they did. Yeah? We get to kind of look back over our life and say, God, you were there, you were there, you were there, you were there. But ladies and gentlemen, while we are preparing this and we're going into this, we're not going to stay there. Because I grew up in a church that they made your mind, you stayed in the sin. But I'm saying we're taking communion so we can move forward. We can become spiritually mature. Is that okay? So as we are preparing for this, Pastor Mo is going to jump in here because I'm going to do what I do. That's sing. And we're just going to just kind of begin to prepare our hearts and minds. And God, we thank you. We thank you for the love of you. And we thank you for the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I remember the story so vividly. And I love the way Pastor Brian talks about it. And he took the bread and he broke it. This is my body that will be broken for you. And then he took the wine and he poured it out. And he said, this is my blood that's poured out for you. And I want you to understand that it took, listen, I know he was fully God and fully man, but it took a mature man to know what was coming and to do it for you. He was mature in his faith. He was mature in who he was. He was mature in the call that God had placed on his life to walk out. And a lot of people say, well, Jesus got weak and he asked God to, God, if it be in your will, let this cup pass from me. And there's some people out there that would like to focus on that part. I don't. What I love to focus on is the part where he says, not my will, but your will be done. That's where the strength comes from. That's where our spiritual maturity is. Not my will, God. Not my temper tantrum. Not my way, but your will be done. Amen? Would you stand? We're going to prepare for communion as a church. And as you move forward, guest, you're more than welcome to come. We're not that type of church that says, if you haven't done this, then you can't participate. I believe the table of God, the table of Christ, is big enough for all of us. And if we happen to run out of bread, don't think we will, but I promise you, Russell will go get us some more right quick. Would you come?